What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
The light bulbs are going off in my head.
This is like deep.
I just haven't thought of it that way.
It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly to me before.
All this time I've been going to church, this never resonated with me.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are talking about the attributes of God as they apply to counseling. So if you've been with us the past two episodes, we covered the immutability of God, and that means God doesn't change. So some theologians will actually say that's the unchangeableness of God. That just always feels like a weird phrase or a weird term, unchangeableness. But God is unchanging. That's what we mean by immutable. We also talked about God's wisdom and God being the one who not only knows the right end, but the right means to the end. So if God is wise, then where do you go for wisdom? Or if you're struggling with wisdom, are you seeking those that are unwise instead of seeking God, who gives generously wisdom to those that ask it? So today I'm in sovereignty. And honestly, God's sovereignty in counseling is one of the most prominent attributes of God that you have to saturate yourself with. Think of it this way. Think of sovereignty as one of those bedrock attributes. Not to say that sovereignty is more than love or more than holiness or goodness, but sovereignty really is a worldview changer. And some of us come from backgrounds where the sovereignty of God is just simply not mentioned. And I think I would qualify for that. I tell my students here at Masters that I come from a church that was a good church in the sense of evangelism and teaching the gospel, but our pastor would often pit God against the devil. At times, that was an easy way to explain the reason why evil existed in the world, because, you know, some days Satan is winning and some days God is winning and God really wanted that, but that's not what happened because Satan kind of prevented God's plans. But when you read the scripture, you actually see a very different portrait that Satan doesn't do anything without God's permission. Go back and read Job chapter 1 into Job chapter 2, that Satan is under God's sovereign control. And when you get to end times, you'll even see that Satan is bound for 1,000 years and Satan is released and Satan is acting underneath God's control. So when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we want to just make sure that we see this as a big God for who he is according to the scripture. So let me give you a definition and then we'll go back to some of this cosmic battle between Satan and God. So here's the definition of God's sovereignty. The first one comes from Wayne Grudem. Grudem says God is able to do all of his holy will. And some of his definition does relate to God's omnipotence, which I'll share more on here in a second, but God is not thwarted by anybody. God can do anything that he wants to do. And the emphasis will be on acting in a way that accords to his will. So this means that there are some ridiculous conversations about what is God able to do? Can God make a rock that he cannot lift? And you're like, okay, Aristotle, you know, thanks for the weirdo examples. What Grudem is saying is that God can do anything inside of his will. And there's nothing inside of his will that he is thwarted or prevented from doing. So that's Grudem. This one comes from John MacArthur, God's absolute rule and authority over all things. And God's absolute rule does mean that God is governing, God is reigning, God is in absolute control. There is nothing that is outside of God's authority. No molecule of this earth, no spiritual force, no aspect of nature. Everything is under God's rule and God is governing them all toward his purposes. So this is the sovereignty of God, and each of these are emphasizing that God is the supreme one. He is the one that possesses all authority and power. And there are powerful people in this world, and there are powerful things in this world. I think of natural disasters. I think of hurricanes, tornadoes. But none of those would outpower God. And back to the cosmic battle of Satan versus God, I actually would encourage you to be sober-minded about satanic influence. 1 Peter 5, that Satan is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I do believe that archangels, and I think Satan would be a fallen archangel, I do believe them to be powerful. And you see spiritual warfare taking place in heaven. You see spiritual warfare taking place in passages like Daniel 10, where spiritual battles are being fought. But yet in the end, God is the one that is more powerful than all angelic hosts combined. His power is supreme. His rule is supreme. He is governing everything. There is no aspect of this universe that is outside of God's control. So boom, there it is. First of all, now you're like, all right, Gifford, enough of the theology books. Give me some Bible. Hopefully that's what you're thinking anyway. So let me give you a couple of passages that overtly speak to God's sovereignty. The first is going to be from Daniel chapter 4. And as you may recall, Nebuchadnezzar, think of our modern world leaders. Maybe we would say China, US, Russia would be the dominant nation. Well, in our modern times, whatever your perspective of the dominant world power is, think of that as Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon at the time. And Babylon is the country that would have taken Judah captive. So if you've ever heard of the exile, that's when those that were living within Judah were taken into captivity into Babylon. So your Daniels of the world, they were the ones that were actually exiled and taken away from their country. So Nebuchadnezzar was the leader. And as the leader, he is walking on his rooftop and pronouncing his own power. I look out and I see everything that my hand has made, which is number one, false. Your hand didn't make that. What do you have that you do not receive? So your hand didn't make that, Nebuchadnezzar. So God actually humbles him and humbles him for a season of time where he is like a wild animal. His hair grows long, his nails grow long. He's seen as being crazy. And when God restores him back to his right mind, here is Nebuchadnezzar's confession. He says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Practically speaking, when Nebuchadnezzar, the world's current earthly leader, not supreme or heavenly leader, but the world's current leader of the most powerful army on earth, nation on earth, when he confesses that all of the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing, God does according to his will in heaven and on earth. That's a very powerful statement. It's an accurate statement. It's based off of one who's been humbled and has a little bit more of a sober judgment. But that is a confession of God's sovereignty. Nebuchadnezzar, his heart is in the hand of the Lord, the proverb says, and God turns it wherever he will. That is God's sovereignty, his absolute reign over everything, his authority over everything. The next one that I'll share with you comes from Psalm 115. The psalmist says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Almost as if it were a taunt, verse 2. Why would the surrounding nations say, where is the God of Israel? Well, where is he? He is enthroned in the heavens and he is doing whatever he wants to do. Why? Because no one can stop him. No one can stay his hand. No one can say, why did you do that? Daniel 4:35. There is no earthly power. There is no heavenly power that holds God's hands from, that holds God's hand back. No one is preventing God from doing what he wants to do. He is the absolute ruler, the absolute king. That's what sovereignty means. Jeremiah 32:17. O Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. When John has a vision of God and he is thinking through God's absolute power, I want you to see that when we get to the consummation of end times in Revelation 4, you're going to see that God is exalted, God is enthroned, God is in total control. The Ancient of Days is going to be the one that is high and lifted up, and then he inaugurates end times. In each of the visions of who God is, you're going to see a high vision of God and his power and his rule. So these are related to other doctrines like providence. Providence means that God is He's orchestrating and governing the affairs of the world toward his ends. So providence is somewhat connected. Usually theologians wouldn't make providence the attribute of God, but rather an expression of God's sovereignty. So God is sovereignly ruling and governing all things through his providence. Or think of another one, which is omnipotence. sometimes when you'll read theologians, even Dr. Grudem does this a little bit, you'll see them use omnipotence interchangeably with sovereignty. Omnipotence being that God is all powerful. So when you hear the omnis, just think of the all. So all powerful, God has all power. And when Dr. Grudem says God can do anything inside of his holy will, some people would see that more as a reference to omnipotence rather than sovereignty. I'm okay with that. If you want to classify that more as omnipotence, that's why these are very closely related with sovereignty and omnipotence. But we would actually say that you cannot be like God in his omnipotence because that is an incommunicable attribute, but you can be like him in being a sovereign ruler. And I don't mean like, okay, Dr. Gifford just said I can be a sovereign ruler. Get over here, family, and I'm sovereign. No, okay, chill. What I'm saying is that there were actually titles for governing authorities that were called sovereign lords, or they were sovereign over a geographic area. So that's all I mean, that you can emulate God in being sovereign or kind of the boss or the authority in a specific region, area, geography, locale, whatever that is. But in the end, when we talk about sovereignty, we are saying God's absolute rule, God's bigness. If you haven't really basked in this, man, we got to start there. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to pick up with the counseling implications for sovereignty. We'll be right back.
All right. And before we dive back into the second half of today's episode on God's sovereignty, I want to take just a moment to highlight powerful resources that we have available in the Transformed store. First, one that ties perfectly in with our discussion today on the sovereignty of God and overcoming worry is A.W. Pink's book, conveniently titled The Sovereignty of God. It's a timeless work and it dives deep into the question about who's really in control, God or the devil. I highly recommend that you check out The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink, and it's available now in the Transformed store at transformed.org. Now, shifting gears just a second, I want to take a moment to talk about something that's near and dear, not just to my heart, but to the heart of everyone who helps with the production of not only Transform, but every single thing that we're able to produce at Gospel Partners Media. And that's you. Our mission is to evangelize the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. And we need your support in order to produce these life-changing resources that allow us to do that. And so that's why we want to ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, as I tell you all the time, if you are not already faithfully giving to your local church or you're strapped by some kind of debt, then don't give to us. Don't give to this ministry because we firmly believe in stewarding God's money well. And it starts with you stewarding the money God has given you well. Now, if you do have those situations kind of taken care of, then we would love for you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All of those details can be found right now at transformed.org. And lastly, while you're there at transformed.org, I want to highlight one more resource for you. If you've ever felt a burden to come alongside hurting people in your church and around you, and those are the biblical counseling resources that we provide. And if you feel that burden, you very well may be someone that needs to consider becoming a biblical counselor. And we've had many of those resources written by Dr. John MacArthur, David Pallison, Paul David Tripp, and others available at the Transform store at transformed.org. And that's going to do it for me. We need to get back to Dr. Gifford now as he continues to talk about the rich attributes of God. And this week in particular, the sovereignty of God. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
It's inevitable that a high view of self leads to something God resists, like pride. When we acknowledge that we are nothing, that's when Christ becomes our everything.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
All right, welcome back. We've been talking through the attributes of God, and in this current episode, I've been talking through sovereignty and the big picture definition, biblical support, and so forth. But in the end, I want you to imagine, what do you see as extremely powerful? What is your thought? You know, is it natural disasters? Is it disease? Is it a person, an organization, a country? What do you see as extremely powerful? And then I would say, God is more powerful than that. So if you've had a high view of satanic influence, God is more powerful than Satan. If you've had a high view of disease and illness, God is more powerful than that. If you've had a high view of an organization or a country, God is more powerful than that because God is absolutely in control and ruling over all things. So now, how does that practically transform your life? Well, remember, when we behold the glory of God, we become like Him. It actually transforms us according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. So when you see that God is totally in control, He is absolutely ruling over all things, first of all, it's probably going to be a little disturbing if you've never heard that. It starts to create worldview questions of what ifs and how come that happens? And if that's true, then what about this? Totally, those are warranted and I think necessary questions to begin to unpack in your own worldview. But let me get into specific instances of if you are struggling with this, then bask in the sovereignty of God. First of all, if you find yourself being anxious, I would find all of the passages in the Bible that speak to God's sovereignty, and I would begin to meditate on those and saturate myself with them. Anxiety, in the biblical sense, meaning worried or meaning fearful, overly concerned is the biblical way of saying anxiety. Your Philippians 4s, 6 through 7, your Matthew 6s, where we talk about anxiety and you see Jesus speak about it, Paul speak about it. When we're talking about the biblical use of the term anxiety, if that is something that you struggle with, what do you need to hear? Well, I've said this in past episodes. I've said this on the TV series with Transformed. But I think what you actually need to hear is that God is completely sovereign and in control. And that will begin to soften your anxieties. When you believe that God is totally in control, and then we couple that with His wisdom, that He knows the best, He knows the best end and the best means to that end. God is totally in control. Then what happens is my anxieties slowly go away. Why? Because I just trust Him. I know I'm not in control. So anxiety is smashed by a big view of God's sovereignty. If you struggle with anxiety, instead of just saying, stop being anxious, and that's the way some of us treat it. We just think, don't do it. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? The more I say, don't be anxious, what happens is the more I'm anxious. You can't just say, hey, Greg, go to sleep and sleep like a baby tonight. And then all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? That's good. I never thought about that. Let me just go to sleep like a baby tonight. You actually have to rest in the sovereignty of God and His total rule, total control. He's governing everything according to His purposes. God's sovereignty smashes anxiety. Number two, controlling people really need to understand the sovereignty of God. What do I mean by controlling people? Maybe you are the helicopter parent. Either that's like things crunching or a helicopter. I'm trying to make it a helicopter. There we go. If you're a helicopter parent, I want you to see that there's a level of stepping back that you have to be able to say, I can't control the outcome of my child's life, but God can. And so I trust Him. Your desire to be in control is a misunderstanding of who you are and who God is. A controlling person actually thinks that they are sovereign when God is the one that is sovereign. Over time, controlling people are unbearable. Everything has to be their way. We have to placate them, make them happy. When it comes to a person who is controlling, they have to not only put off being controlling, and you do, but what are you putting on? A big picture of who God is. God is the one who is in control. So I don't have to control my children's lives. I don't have to control my family. I don't have to control my workplace. I don't have to control my church. Why? Because God is in control. If you have a small view of God's sovereignty, you will be a controlling person. Let me say that again. If you have a small view of God's sovereignty, you will be a controlling person. So controlling and being controlling is squashed, it's undermined, it's rooted out by a big view of God's sovereignty. Next, manipulative people. Manipulation, I think, can be a learned behavior. A person is coercive. They use their emotions to weaponize manipulation. I get pouty and you're like, oh no, Greg, I'm so sorry. I'm like, When it comes to manipulation, what happens is we are manipulating people. We're being coercive because we think if we don't convict them, if we don't prompt them to do what we wanted them to do, then they're not going to do it. Manipulative people don't pray a lot. They actually have to manipulate circumstances for their end. They have to be coercive and pouty and so forth. A manipulative person, if you're struggling with being manipulative, do you see God as absolutely in control? Or do you have to be coercive and manipulative to be in control, to get what you want? I would guess if you're a manipulative person that you just don't pray a lot. Isn't that interesting? And why do you not pray a lot? Because you have to manipulate circumstances for your end. Wow. Hey, I'm not here to, this is not an intervention for you, but I do want you to know that manipulation comes from a small view of God's sovereignty. If you're manipulative and coercive, you don't truly see God as being absolutely in control and ruling over all things. If you did, you would just pray instead of being coercive and manipulative to get what you want. So first of all, anxiety. Second, controlling people. Then there's the manipulative person that really needs to bask in this attribute of God. Lastly, I just want to give you a couple of things to consider in the aspects of God's sovereignty. And I don't want to be trite, and some of these have large implications. So let me do my best to highlight them. And then I'm, of course, open to whatever questions you guys have as you write in. So first of all, God is sovereign over our sin. Many of you, and I would put my high school years in this category, many of you have a season of life that you would like to get back. You look back at an era of your life and you say, oh man, I did not honor the Lord in that era. Do you believe that God is sovereign even over your mistakes and your sin, that He can use your failures to help accomplish His purposes? If you don't believe that, then you really have to reckon with basically Acts 7, where we see the Apostle Paul come into the scene, to Acts 9, where we see him converted. God was using Paul's persecution of the church to actually spread the church out from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. To say it another way, God used Paul's sinfulness to accomplish His purposes. Do you rest in the fact that God is sovereign over your sin? I too can resonate with wanting a mulligan on a certain era of life. And I know there are those of you that are listening that feel the same way. And yet, we know that God can sovereignly use our sins and our mistakes. Not everything we've done is a sin, so and our mistakes. He can use those for His purposes. That goes to our next aspect, which is God is sovereign over other people. Excuse me. God is sovereign over other people. He is sovereign over their sins. When you read Joseph's confidence in the reason why he is in Egypt, his confidence is not in his brother's intentions. His confidence is in God's power and God's control. And God brought him to that point. Do you sovereignly trust that God is in total control? This does not legitimize. We're not overlooking sin. We're not allowing people to sin against us. We're not tolerating that. We will call the cops, so to speak. We will confront when necessary. But in the end, we see that God is the one that is absolutely in control. So we grow in trusting Him. We're not growing in bitterness. We're letting those difficult times where we have been sinned against cultivate deeper Christ-likeness in our life. God is sovereign over our sin and the sins of other people. God is sovereign over the nations. Most of us as Americans aren't worried too much about an invasion. And I'm sure some of you are worried about an alien invasion right now. It's going to happen. I'm in my basement as I record this. Most of you are probably more worried about our nation, and you're worried about the direction of our nation. And this is an election year again, and so that brings with it angst and turmoil for some of you. Do you believe that God is perfectly sovereign over nations and rulers, that there is no king that's appointed, according to Romans 13, that is outside of God's authority, that every authority is established by God? God is sovereign over nations. And lastly, God is sovereign over nature. Some of us have lost a home to nature, whether it be a fire or a hurricane. And in the end, we recognize that God is totally in control over fires and hurricanes. When you see that God is absolutely in control, He is ruling over everything, it literally transforms your life because you're settled. These things are still challenging. I still have to work on my anxiety and not being manipulative. But in the end, because God is big and in total control, I don't have to take His spot. I don't have to be worried, and I don't have to be coercive and manipulative. I trust a God who is big. So I know this is a lot. I would encourage you to even re-listen to this last segment as you're teasing things out, and perhaps you're sensing there's an area where you're like, you know what, Dr. Gifford, you're right. I have not applied the sovereignty of God to that particular thing. Hey, now is the time. Let's do it. Now's the time. So let me pray, and we got to be done for today. Lord, would you reveal to us your sovereignty so that we can be transformed in trusting you, not being manipulative or controlling, but at peace, prayerful people that love you and know that you are the one to bring about ultimate change in the end. Would you do this for your glory and for our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.